Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Jody E., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, November 22nd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting of A Vision for You. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page XV, and we will be reading the second paragraph. Today's readers are Tanya P. on the 12 Steps, Mary P. on the 12 Traditions. The text will be read by Cheryl S., the closing by Vanessa G., and Dion R. is our backup reader. The reference numbers for yesterday's 10 a.m. meeting are the following: 20,852, that's 20852, and this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 20,864, 20864. The following is the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. This is Tanya P. from Michigan, recovered gratefully by the grace and mercy of our higher powers. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you so much for your service, and thank you for allowing me to do service. Pat.
Jody, we're not hearing you.
To
Thank
you so much. Thank you. Thank you. I will now thank you, Tanya, for reading the 12 steps. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you, Jody. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or communicate directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone may share, but we ask that you keep your sharing the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the VIP book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page XV, paragraph 2. I will ask Cheryl S. from Nevada to begin reading for us. Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Jody. My name is Cheryl S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Nevada. 16 years have elapsed between our first printing of this book and the presentation in 1955 of our second edition. In that brief space, Alcoholics Anonymous has mushroomed into nearly 6,000 groups whose membership is far above 150,000 recovered alcoholics. Groups are to be found in each of the United States and all of the provinces of Canada. AA has flourishing communities in the British Isles, the Scandinavian countries, South Africa, South America, Mexico, Alaska, Australia, and Hawaii. All told, promising beginnings have been made in some 50 foreign countries and U.S. possessions. Some are just now taking shape in Asia. Many of our friends encourage us by saying that this is but a beginning, only the augury of a much larger future ahead. So the first thing I did was I looked up augury, which means a prediction. So their friends are predicting that they have a much larger future ahead. So I did some research, some quick research on Google, and here's a couple of things that I had discovered. That in 2020, it says that AA had over 200 million members. They were in 180 nations, and there were 118,000 groups that were active. I also looked at OA, and in 2020, OA had over 60,000 members. There were over 6,000 groups. They were in over 75 countries, and they were groups were speaking, had 20 different languages, including ESL, which is sign language. So from the beginning, we're about 84 years out. When the second edition was printed, Dr. Bob had passed away. He was no longer active, obviously, in AA, and but Bill W. was still alive. But interestingly enough, Bill W. passed 16 years after the second edition was printed. So what does all that mean? Just a couple of things that came to mind to me is, first of all, as a person, because I always think of myself first, if I was the founder of something, and that the fact that some act that I did could have turned into something like this, which was the case for Bill W. and Dr. Bob. They went from two people to millions and millions of people. And I even think the OA thing is a little understated, because if we have 12,000 members just in vision alone. So that tells me what I do matters. What you do matters. You know, even if you feel like you don't make a difference, you can make a difference. I can make a difference in someone's life, and how it can compound exponentially to me is absolutely mind-boggling. And one of the other things I thought of when I read this is that the good news is there are all these meetings, there are all these members, there's all this help out there if I want it. The bad news is there's all these meetings, there's all these members, there's all this help out there if I don't want it. And there were times when I was in relapse and I would pray and I would say, oh, please, God, help me. Help me. I need help. I can't do this. And I would hear that. Thank you. I would hear that voice go to a meeting and I would think, oh, no, anything but that, please. But OA is here and it's going strong. And thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you very much, Cheryl S. from Nevada. Okay, I'll now take a list of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are, again, on page XV, the second paragraph of the foreword to the second edition. And I will also say, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. Who would like to share?
Melanie C. from Oregon.
Stephen G. in Toronto.
Stephen G. Who else?
Dion R.
Dion R.
Kelly L.
Excuse me, which paragraph?
The second paragraph on page XV. It begins with 16 years have elapsed.
Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, then we'll begin with this group. We have Melanie C., Stephen G., Dion R., and Kelly L. Please go ahead, Melanie.
Hey, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Canby, Oregon. It's lovely to hear your voice, Jody. Thanks for taking the meeting today. And I was just, my heart just melted with the opening. Was that Cheryl S.? I'm not sure. But anyway, I just loved listening to her opening today because it led into my interest and my passion to be able to share this morning. This page does talk about the growth in AA for the 16 years from 1939 to 1955, 150,000 had recovered. And I'm imagining being there during that time and what was happening before then. It was absolutely hopelessness. It was all that was happening before that time of what was going on for those that were drunk. They were putting them into asylums. That's the only thing that they could do. That's the hospitalization that they had for addicts during that time. And, oh my goodness, can you imagine the difference between that and what's going on now? And then I get to kind of somehow, in some sort of teeny way, which I'm a little hesitant to do, compare that to what happened when recovery to the level of being recovered was introduced to me and how that moved along in my years. And then I was introduced to a big book study after the initial Overeaters Anonymous exposure that I had to being recovered, to the big book study and being able to be, I would just say I'm directing our attention now to this particular meeting that's going on here now for us. And I am just stunned to be able to tell you that we came in just a group of people that wanted to have a little big book study together. We had become friends before in different places when we were together and we moved to different states and we wanted to enjoy reading the big book together to keep ourselves in the recovery state of mind. We didn't have any idea that it was going to grow. And I know that were times we didn't know if we were going to have people to fill the service roster. So we all did that. I mean, the four or five of us did that. We filled in every single spot to growing to, I think, our first convention. We were able to look at the data that we had on the internet to see that A Vision for You was representing over 52 countries. And the excitement that we felt, you know, we felt like that even deserved a ticker tape hallelujah celebration that you might see in downtown New York City because people were recovering. You see, because before then, the meetings that I had gone to before getting recovered, I guess I'll tell you, it came into OA in 89, 17 years. The only thing that I saw was my own personal relapse in the rooms that I was in. We only know how to teach each other relapse, even though we meant so well and wanted so much. We didn't see that, and I saw it for the first time. Here.
Melanie.
Now we got to go? All right.
Thank you. You went out and came back in.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Well, I just wanted to mention that, you know, we don't have 150,000, but to grow like that in our 11 years is phenomenal as well. I'm so glad that you're all here. And newcomers, please listen for phone numbers and grab those up and join us. We can teach you how. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much. Melanie C. from Oregon. Stephen G., please go ahead.
Good morning, Jody. Thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here today. I'm Stephen G. I'm a recovered compulsive reader in Toronto, Canada. And this particular paragraph, this word mushrooming, talking about exponential growth, and which started with two people, Dr. Bob and Bill W., and 16 years later is 150,000 recovered alcoholics. And these people are not getting together because of they want to sit around and commiserate about the problem. They're getting together and it's growing because they're all accessing the solution. And the solution is coming because one person is passing to another person the precise instructions for how to recover. And we see that in A Vision for You over the last several years, which is an exponential growth as well because we're passing on the precise instructions. When I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I had a willingness I wanted to recover, but I didn't hear the precise instructions. And as a result, I got a predictable result. And then eventually, I was led to a group of people who shared with me the precise instructions in this book. but I didn't follow the precise instructions because I didn't really want to do them because I wasn't desperate enough. But eventually the disease progressed to a state where I was desperate enough and I followed the precise instructions and continue to follow the precise instructions. And I've gotten the effect that these people got, which is a recovered state. And that's something I can pass on to other people and continue this process of exponential growth. And I'm very grateful for this book and for this fellowship. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Stephen G. from Toronto. Dion R., please go ahead.
Good morning, all, and thank you, Jody, and thank you for the previous years, all three of them. This reminded me of growth, growth, growth. That's all I kept hearing, growth, growth, growth. And it's so true. I just want to thank my higher power for that. Because like many people said, the forerunners who said, well, let me try something different, you know, and one compulsive overeater, alcoholic or whatever, talking to another one, what I got for me was hope. I got hope in these rooms, something I didn't get in the streets or anywhere else. I got temporary hope, you know, a little respite for a second and went right back to no hope, but to continuously having hope. That's what I found in these rooms. My higher power introduces programs to a family member. He and he still recovered today. And then that introduced it to me, and which was in the beverage program, like most of us, some of us. And then into that drug of choice, it was always food. And to watch, as many people have said, I wasn't the first five, but when they said, hey, we're going to have this meeting in 2011, I'm only like 2 weeks absent. I grabbed hold, and I will continue to grow wherever recovery and hope is at. Because I love it passing on. That's one of my highlights. And so if it's going all the way to Hawaii or wherever on my bucket list places, oh, yeah, that lets make me feel good that hope is there, too. You know, recovery is there. It's just from one person sharing with another from their heart versus always from their head. Because reasoning kept me out. It might just be, this doesn't make sense. Well, the spirituality of it doesn't have to. I just see proof and hope with so many that's still here, who've gone on in a peaceful life, and also the ones who said no, thank you. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you. We will continue to grow. I love you all. Have a blessed day. Stay thirsty.
Thank you very much, Dion R. from Ohio. Kelly L., please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. This is Kelly L., gratefully recovered in Washington State. I just wanted to share this morning because that idea of that wholesale miracle has just really been on my mind. And a little bit more this morning after reading this paragraph. And as people yesterday had mentioned, when I looked up at the definition of wholesale yesterday, it was also what stood out to me, that idea of resale, something that you pass on to somebody else. And that is the miracle of, you know, this program. It's the miracle of God, in my opinion. And none of us know, right, how far that wholesale will continue and grow. And, you know, all of us are our own little Bill W., if you will. Because every time we pick up the phone or answer the phone or share on a meeting, we really don't know how, and probably we're not in charge of how that miracle is being wholesaled, delivered throughout the world. So I also liked lots of, you know, reminded me of my own miracle, lots of words of flourishing, promising beginnings, now taking shape. And this is but the beginning of a much larger future. And to me, that also describes the wholesale miracle that was resold to me. I'm only 4 months in, fully recovered, abstinent by the grace of God. And it is but a beginning. And it continues to unfold and flourish every single day. And at the same time, I might actually be, you know, passing it on as I go. I mean, that's, for someone as selfish as me, who spent my entire life thinking about me, that's one of the greatest gifts of all. So thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Kelly L. from Washington. Okay, I'll now take another lineup of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Paragraph 2, page XV, forward to the second edition. Who else would like to share?
Tom L.
Tom L.
Joe C.
Joe C.
Jill, yes.
Jill C. Gotcha, Jill. And who else would like to share? Okay, we'll go with Tom L. and Jill C. Please go ahead, Tom. Press star one, Tom.
Good morning, unmuting and all. Tomorrow, you know what tomorrow is? Thursday. Thank God, it's Thursday. I'm a grateful compulsive overeater. Used to be several hundred pounds bigger than I am now. Used to be on medical disability, which I thoroughly enjoyed at the time because I'm a drunk with food and I thought that was the best life got. And then, of course, it got horrible. And through a miracle, I even found Overeaters Anonymous in 2002. And I was exposed to the big book right away. Doesn't guarantee recovery. I had a big book sponsor who came from AA. Several of his sponsees were in AA and NA. And they were, you know, they knew what recovery was. They were trying to apply it to their food problem. I only, at that time, thought I had a food problem. But I also have a diet mentality, and it's so hard to shake that, you know, that rigid self-will. I mean, how could that not work? I remember going to Joe and Charlie book studies in the early 2000s and just being amazed. And there were a lot of OA people there, too, because, you know, the big book works for the hopeless cases. For the alcoholic of the type where nothing else works, it works like a charm. For those where something else kind of works, it's not really exciting, or you can't hold on to it. The main thing about recovery, as I've discovered it over the last 20 years with a lot of relapse, is that if I don't maintain a certain simple attitude, I relapse. And the simple attitude is laid out very carefully and very clearly in this book. And when I get away from that certain simple attitude and I get into self and all kinds of crazy fantasies and or just plain other stuff, the power ebbs and the process in me stops. But it goes on in other people because every time I relapsed, I came back and there you were, especially on this meeting. You know, there is a how could I go and binge when I know that this is available to me, and also how miserable life is when binging. Life was becoming impossible. I'm just the kind of overeater I am. So forced to this spiritual solution, simple spiritual solution, which I could go on endlessly complicating, if I just stick to the simple rules, not easy, of smashing that incredible ego I have every day, starting in the morning, starting with this meeting, I can get through the next 4 days as if it was just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Thank you very much, Tom L. Jill C., please go ahead and let us know where you're calling from so we can find you on our member list.
Hi, this is Jill C. I'm in Northern California, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm happy to say that. I am so thankful for this meeting and for the spreading of AA. Recently, I was on a vacation. I was on a cruise and newly abstinent and a little bit concerned about that. And there were Friends of Bill meetings. And I'll tell you, I felt so connected to those, you know, 8 or 10 people. Three times a week, you know, almost more connected to them than I did to some of the people that were on the vacation with me. And it was just amazing that here I was the only overeater. They had some other addictions. And, you know, it didn't matter. We just connected. And how great is that, that you know, this program has just spread and we can go almost anywhere. And plus technology, we can just tap into a meeting. And I remember when I first started, my therapist had recommended that I go to OA, and I was mortified. And so I had tried a few meetings. And within that first week, someone had texted me, Zoom meeting had said, a vision for you. And I didn't know what that was, but I just went. And so after that first week of just dipping my toe in the water, I came to this meeting. And I have been just so blessed. I'm so thankful for it. And I did have a little relapse. It wasn't all just, you know, roses the whole way in. As someone said, you know, you don't come in here on a roll. But, you know, I keep coming back. And today I can say I'm recovered and I'm living in the solution. And so this isn't a gratitude meeting, but I just have tons of gratitude for you guys and for everyone on this line. So thank you so much. And I pass.
Thank you, Jill C. from California. Okay, in case you came in recently, we are on page XV, forward to the second edition of the Big Book, on paragraph 2, beginning with 16 years have elapsed, reading that one full paragraph. And I'd love to take another list of names of people who would like to share. Who would like to share?
Kevin N.
Eugene Orban.
Okay, I didn't get either one of you. Sorry, the gentleman's name again, please.
Kevin N., Whidbey Island, Washington.
Okay, I still didn't get your first name, but that's okay. I hear you. And who from Eugene? There was a woman's voice from, I believe, Eugene, Oregon. Maybe not.
Mary Lee.
Say again?
Mary Lee. Or?
Mary Lee. Gotcha, Mary Lee. Okay, anyone else?
Ivy S.
Ivy
Joanne
S.
B.
Joanne B. This is an opportunity for some of you who don't normally share to share. It's easy to get in there into the lineup today.
Laura W.
Laura W. Okay, we'll go with that list. We'll start with the gentleman. I still didn't get his first name. Mary Lee from Oregon, Ivy S., Joanne B., and Laura W. Please go ahead, sir.
This is Kevin N. from Whidbey Island, Washington. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Perfect. Now, Kevin.
Hi. Guys, I'm new to A Vision for You. I'm sort of new to the OA program. This is the third day that I've been phoning in to this meeting, and this is the first day that I've kind of had the courage to hit star one, and there's something about that kind of feel like I'm stepping into a lot of what we just read, this larger community, a worldwide network of people who all know exactly what it is to walk down the road that I've been on. And that's one of the really great things about that I've found about this program, is that my disease is a disease of isolation. And here I am. There's people on this call from all over the continent, and I get to be a part of you today. And that's just a really wonderful thing. And I wanted to kind of claim my seat here and declare myself and say I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm experiencing recovery. And because of this meeting and others, I'm experiencing hope. So with that, I will end my time. Thank you all for your service.
Thank you very much, Kevin N. from Washington. We're very glad you're here with us. Yay. Mary Lee from Oregon, please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, in recovery with God's grace and mercy. And I don't share that much because I don't feel as articulate as so many people. They know how to reach a person's heart, I think. And I had to get sober from alcohol in the 80s, and then I had to get clean from marijuana in the 80s, and then I had to stop smoking cigarettes in the 80s. And then in 1990, I found Braysheet, which took off a tremendous amount of weight, but didn't really plug me into the big book at all. and it was, you know, I've done the pay and leave and yada, yada, yada. And then I also did a lot of Friends of Bill W. on cruises. And then I found the coffee shop, which kind of resonated with me. And then someone by the name of Mary Lee in California told me about A Vision for You. And there were 35 people on that meeting. And I thought, wow. And now look at us. I mean, it's just like what we've read this morning and heard wonderful talks on. It works. And it's we help each other. And we know what it feels like. And I don't ever want to forget that. And I'm just so, so grateful. I'm in my kitchen this morning doing my batch cooking for breakfast. And tomorrow is just another Thursday, so far as my food plan goes. But there'll be some family that I haven't connected with in a while. And I just have so much gratitude. Thank you. Thank you, Jody. And I'm often, you know, used to be Jody EQ, but Jody E, you rock. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Lee R. from Oregon. Yeah, we've been on this road together for a while now. IVS, please share.
Thank you. IVS from California, compulsive overeater and bulimic. It's so great that we're restarting the book at the beginning again. And this book I just hold so dear to my heart, and it's because of Overeaters Anonymous and OA Vision for You specifically that I've just had a new experience with the steps, with the book, with my higher power, starting with abstinence. And it makes me think of my own personal beginning in this program, being introduced in 2018, getting abstinent in 2019. I had a relapse in 2019. And, you know, the work I get to do, you know, I get to do this work. You know, the 10 steps and the calls and the writing and, you know, prayer and all that stuff. And I heard somewhere, maybe it says in the book, that it's a simple but not easy program. And for me personally, you know, sometimes it feels like more work than others. Sometimes I am in that state of like, no, I get to do this work. Because when I'm binging and purging, I just don't care. You know, it's like it just becomes about the food and getting the food and consuming the food and then purging the food and then repeat. You know, that's what it's like. So really for me, it's about doing the work or returning to hell, you know, for lack of a better word. So today I get to do the work I'm grateful for the work. You know, I get to show up for family and events and things like that, and you know, have that for the most part, not always, but some love and tolerance, asking my higher power for guidance moment by moment. So do it incredibly imperfect, this the step work, but I'm so grateful for you all and for this program and for the 12 steps, AA, all of it. So that's all I have to share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, IVS from California. Joanne B., please share and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, I'm Joanne B. I'm from Vermont, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater today. It's been great. I'm off today, which is really nice, and I'm tuning in a little later than I normally do, and I can share from not from my car like I normally do. So I guess the only thing I have to say is I've been in this program. This will be my second Thanksgiving in OA. Last year was my first, and I've been able to stay abstinent for over a year now, and that's because this meeting has become my main meeting that I listen to 5 days a week, and I listen to other meetings on the week. I do go to other meetings on the weekend, and all the experience, strength, and hope that I've been hearing this year has really inspired me and kept me going day after day. And, you know, I also have a great sponsor. And even though I was 16 years sober in another program, I've never really followed the steps in all of my affairs, and really gone deep into what's written in this book. And those two things, having a sponsor lead me through this book and stop like every paragraph, and just I'm learning so much, and now I'm also sponsoring other people. It's just this incredible, you know, wraparound kind of support. And as I was cared for, now I'm caring for others and helping others. And that's part of my recovery going forward. Anyway, I just got a text from the person who is cooking and asking how many people we have total coming and how much stuffing they should make. And I said, I'm actually not eating. I don't eat stuffing anymore. So, and I was okay. I'm okay with that. You know, it's just not part of my food plan anymore. And I'm looking forward to this Thanksgiving as being time with my kids, time with my family. And, yeah, there's going to be some good food, but I don't have to be focused on eating and just drowning myself in food anymore. And that's because I found a higher power and I found this program. I love everybody on this line, and I wish everyone a wonderful holiday. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joanne B. from Vermont. Laura W., please share with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura W. I am from the Chicago suburbs, and I'm so happy to be on the line today. I am out for a walk, so I'm slowing down my pace. So hopefully you can hear me without too many distractions. I have been in OA since 2010. I got abstinent in 2016, listening to Vision, and got really recovered in 2018, and really involved. And slowly, through the pandemic, I found that I lost my recovery and eventually my abstinence. And it's been hard. But I have never left the rooms, and in particular, a Vision for You. And I love starting over. I love getting really involved in the message of the big book and hearing the people at Vision There's two things that I feel are so important and will help me get back to abstinence and recovery, and that is, one, working the steps as hard as I can, and two, keep coming to meetings, take advantage of the camaraderie and the fellowship. And I'm just so happy that today, rather than listening to a recorded meeting, I get to be live. So with that, I'll pass, and I'm grateful to be here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Laura W. We have time for one more person to share. Who would like to take this last slot?
Wendy M.
Wendy M., please go ahead.
Great. Hi, Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you so much, Jody E., for your service. A bunch of different things are coming to mind. One is, I was probably, and I found myself in Paris, and I found myself in a meeting, and everybody was speaking French, and it didn't matter, because we were all speaking the language of the heart. You know, these were my mainly sisters at the meeting, and they had a different take on the disease. And by the end of the meeting, we were all crying. And when I shared in English, they just all, you know, nodded their head profusely and welcomed me, you know, because that's it. You know, it transcends language. It transcends location. It was one of the best feelings in the world. I've also, when I was in Hawaii, I found a beach where there was a meeting. I was really willing to go to any lengths, and there was nothing called Zoom. The other thing I want to say is the word recovered, and I heard this earlier in the meeting. Recovered. It's a shift. It's a state of mind. The woman said, this isn't about being abstinent. This is about being recovered. Like, how do I treat myself? How do I treat other people? Right? Like, I have choices, and it's a different, it's like, I always call it technicolor. Like, I'm in a different state when I'm recovered, right? Because it's like, okay, God, take me to the highest realm. Lately, I've been saying, like, you know, God's like, I'm going to take you where you can be of maximum service to everybody. I'm going to take you to a place where you can be at the highest possible realm, and I'm going to take you there. And that is recovered. You know, that is God taking me to these places. God is showing me how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to be recovered, but God is constantly showing me. Like I have a challenge with somebody, and my friend in program said, you know what? God's going to take you to your best self. God's going to take you to the most useful self, even if it means not being friends with this person anymore. Because you need to be, God's like, you need to be a maximum service. You need to be at your highest self, your recovered self, that self that feels so good inside when you're doing the right thing, right? It feels so good. It feels so right. And it's not always pretty, right? Fine. It's not always pretty. Thank you so much, Jody.
Thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Okay.
We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Vanessa G. please read A Vision for You?
I will. Thank you, Jeff, for taking the meeting. Thank you, everybody, for your service. My name is Vanessa G., and I'm recovered in New Mexico. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. So see to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find. And join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.